Thanks so much for checking out today's episode of Keeping It 99 Presents Localize It. We got Daily Davis on. It's a great time. I think we might be twin brothers. So listen to the conversation and you judge for yourself. If you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, May 8th or 9th, then Saturday, May 9th, the band Goosed that we love here at Keeping It 99, and maybe you love them because if you're listening, I assume you like awesome music. Going to be streaming from the Youngstown Westside Bowl. Go to the Westside Bowl's Facebook. Check them out. Go to Goose's Facebook. You can search Goose by God. I'm sure it's there. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe to the show on the iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and iHeartRadio and Google Podcast. And then listen on all the platforms. That would be really appreciated. I need money. Speaking of needing money, today's episode is brought to you by Stairs. Stairs. Like steps.
How would you carry an armload of chicken nuggets from floor to floor? Maybe a ladder?
Jeez.
A system of pulleys? Then how about a human-sized pneumatic tube?
No, bitch, stairs!
Welcome to Keeping It 99 Presents Localize It, the podcast where we talk to Northeast Ohio musicians and we have them pick a band from the scene, past or present. They get to also pick the song and we're going to play it on here. They're going to tell you why. And today we have a very special guest, somebody that I'm thrilled to have on the show, Mr. Daily Davis from the band Half Raised Heathens, a man that I have seen at shows a number of times for like 20 years. Talking like anytime I've ever been to Mushroomhead, he's sold me merch before for some of these bands. He's been around, he's been in pits, he's done the thing, he's done his due diligence, and him and I have never ever spoke a word to each other. This is a true fact. Always wanted to say hi to Daily Davis at shows, but he was part of that Cleveland metal crew. I was part of that not Cleveland metal crew. I was like, you know, from Akron. And I wasn't even from Akron, I was from a suburb of Akron. And I would see the Cleveland Metal Kids back in the late 90s at the Crypt Kickers and the Runt shows and the Schnauzers and wanted to be a part of them. But, you know, I just wasn't from Cleveland.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I always looked up to the Cleveland Metal Kids. So.
I've come to talk
so
with you
really
again.
To be. But, you know, because alas, always too nervous to say hello, what up, other guys that seem to be having fun, cool kids. I just wanted to fit in, you know? So I'm very excited to be talking to Daily today. He's got an awesome pick for you. He's going to be picking the legendary Ringworm. And I can't wait to talk to him about why he picked Ringworm, why he picked this song. It's from like the 2006 era, the song that he picked. And anybody who knows anything about Ringworm knows that they have had like a revolving door of different members throughout the bands. Like, you know, fucking Ben Hollowell, who was in Years of Fire, and even Steve Rockhorst for a brief period of time, who is now the singer of Mushroomhead. So pretty neat. But yeah, man, Ringworm's been around for fucking like 30 years. Staples in the Cleveland scene. And I'm very excited to talk to Daily today, man. Really am. It's going to be a good time. Let's give Daily Davis a call.
Keeping It 99 presents Localize It with your host, Eric Eagle.
Hello, Mr. Daily Davis.
How are you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Good. Just hanging out, enjoying some warm weather for once.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm in my car right now because I just decided I wanted to drive around and just just be out in it. And I was like, fuck it, I'll record the show in my car. Like
that's perfect. Yeah, I was actually doing the most metal thing possible on a Sunday. I was out doing yard work, planting bushes at my new house. So that's about as metal as it gets, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, we just the fiance and I just bought a house in Kent, so I'm living in Kent now, and I'm actually glad I got out of Parma, and that's where I was living for quite some time. Nothing against Parma, but I was like, I need a change, man. So Kent is a pretty cool area out here. I know there's a lot of cool musicians and a lot of bands that hopefully like we can actually start doing shows again. So because we were right before all this happened, my drummer who lives in Hudson started talking and networking with a whole bunch of bands out this way and people that he knows from the Kent area, and like we started networking. We had shows at the Dome booked, and like we had all kinds of stuff we're like doing out here, and all of a sudden it just screeching halt, this COVID-19 mess. So it's like, I'm like, oh man, you know, I was really looking forward to catching shows at the Outpost and seeing all that stuff, you know what I mean? I guess there's a metal scene out here is what I was told. I was hoping to try to see if that still exists. So
last I checked it was pretty it was still going on.
Good, yeah. I was like, it's just one of those things. Like, we were all pumped. I was like, yeah, man, because I was living in Youngstown temporarily. And I was like, awesome, man. I'm going to be moving to Kent. And Lee's making it's my drummer. He's like, you know, making buds with all these bands and stuff out this way. And I'm like, awesome, man. We're going to start crushing out here. It'll be like the new scene for us to be a part of. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, forever, like, we were just, you know, Cleveland and, you know, like, going to Akron was, like, out of town for us. But past couple of years, it's like we've been trying to branch out. And I was really excited about trying to hook up and do some shows out here. So hopefully we can get that happening here real soon because, man, I need to play a show. Like, it's killing me and it's killing my guys. Like, every chance we get, we're, like, trying to live stream from the jam room where we practice and stuff just because, you know, people are bored and we also want to play music. And it's cool to play music in front of each other, but, like, you know someone else is watching. It's just a different level, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. That's one of the things about your band that I totally appreciate. I've caught some of your guys' live stream.
Oh, right on. Awesome. Yeah, hey. I mean, it's nothing special. It's usually one person holding a phone or me or whatever, on an iPhone or something. But it's just, I know, like, literally, like, I've had friends say, hey, man, are you guys jamming soon? You guys should, like, do videos. And originally, because we had a show booked on March 28th in Lakewood at, man, what was the name of the venue? I can't remember what it was. Oh, Avenue Tap House. It's supposed to be, like, our 20-year anniversary show, whatever. And, but we were, you know, we originally, when I got canceled, or we were like, had a feeling it was going to get canceled when all the shows and all the bars started closing, we were going to do a legit live stream with Noah from Solipsist, and he's in Nunslaughter now. We were going to do a live stream from his studio. But with just the widespread everything that happened with, you know, just the fear of, you know, passing the virus or anything like that, he kind of put a kibosh on the whole live stream thing from his studio. So like originally we were trying to like do like try to get all the bands inducing panic and something involving a monkey and everything that was going to be on the show. We were like going to do like a half hour set each and just stream it, the whole concert. And we were talking about he wanted to do like a concert series of live stream videos from out of his studio. And then like I said, he kind of felt differently about it, you know, once it got closer, which is understandable, man. It's, you know, in the early stages nobody knew what exactly we were dealing with, you know what I mean? At first, when, you know, all metalheads were like, oh, we're gonna go against the grain and we're going to still do shows, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, someone's relative dies or something, you're like, yeah, I don't really think I want to do that show anymore, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, so, right.
But I mean, I don't know if you know anybody directly affected by this whole thing, but I have a couple friends that, like, you know, relatives got sick and stuff. So, you know, I mean, everybody has their mixed reviews. I'd rather not talk about that or politics of any sort, but, like, you know, it definitely, this has changed the whole game, because like show hungry bands like us who love to play as much as possible, we're just trying to find other ways to entertain people and to keep ourselves relevant. Because I mean, you know, it's, if people are at home bored, if they're, you know, if you give them something to watch, they're gonna watch it. And it's like, I think it's cool whenever I like hear, just like you said, you know, you've called some of our streams, it's awesome. Like, it's just cool that people actually, you know, give a shit, you know what I mean?
Right. So. Yeah, the whole COVID-19 is the reason that I'm doing these mini episodes now, because I have nothing to do when I'm not working. So I was right. Just like, I need to, you know, fill some fucking time. And then on top of it too, I was just like, man, there's so many bands that aren't being able to get any exposure. There's so many bands that aren't being able to play or just put their stuff out there. And I was like, this might be a fun way to just kind of, like, you know, whether it's a past or present band, you know, every day, just have somebody, you know, just talk about, the, the music that they love from around here and just kind of keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was familiar with the I got hit to it because someone said, hey, did you hear this? Because on your one show, you guys played, I believe it was Trash you played or whatever, and you guys were talking about my merchandise days with Mushroom Head and all that stuff, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, so I got hit to what you guys were doing and followed it, you know what I mean? And I appreciate you even letting me, you know, giving me the opportunity to do this and, you know, to even, you know, listen to what I have to say, because I mean, what am I saying of any importance? I'm just blowing smoke up your ass half the time anyways, you know what I mean? So it's cool, it's really cool that you're doing something local too, man, because I mean, this it's a great scene. I mean, from, you know, Akron to Cleveland to the whole Erie scene, the whole thing is a great, beautiful music scene. And I like literally, like, I mean, I've been in a part of it since I was 15-16 years old, going to shows and playing in shitty bands, and
right,
it's just like and it's like, you know, and I love when, like, newcomers come to this, you know, move to the area or whatever. They're like, you guys have a music scene? And it's like, I meet someone, it's like, oh, I just moved here. I'm like, well, boy, do you need to come over and listen to some discs. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, dude, right. 100%. I started going to shows, like, I grew up around Akron. And right. But I started going to shows when I was, like, 15, 16, up in Cleveland exclusively. Like, I caught on in, like, 96... when Mushroom Head started really blowing up in the Cleveland area, some kid at my school brought the name up. I went to a show. I was completely hooked on that. I was hooked on a band, like, and it just jumped from bands like Crypt Kicker to, you know, to fucking, and then every Mushroom Head side project, right? Like the 216. Right. Oh, yeah, the 216.
The 216 days and State of Conviction. And
right.
Even Unified Culture and all that. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then you had Runt and.
For,
like, you know, all that was just, it was like its own scene, and it was just like, you thought there was the biggest thing ever. It's like, I remember being, like, younger, like, I would pass up on, like, my buddies would be like, oh, I want to go see this band coming through, you know, not even to name off a certain type of band, but like, oh, this national touring show is coming, and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to save my money so I can go see Crypt Kicker on Friday and see Mushroom Head on Saturday at Old River Road Peabody's, you know what I mean?
Exactly, like, exactly. we would make the hour trip every weekend. And I've said on the show before, the first two or three years that I got obsessed with going to see local bands, it was all Cleveland bands. I didn't even know that Kent had a scene or bands from there, or Akron had. I never even thought of that. I was just like, Cleveland metal. And so I would be this kid in Barberton, Ohio, like an hour away from Cleveland, constantly repping Cleveland metal. I had a Cleveland Mosh Team t-shirt.
Nice.
And I was just like, it's Cleveland metal. I live for Cleveland, but I'm not from Cleveland. And so
the first time I ever went to a venue in Kent, actually, I was like 18. My brother was in the band Stud Bulls Disco Biscuit, and they played with Uncle No at the Robin Hood.
Ha! Hectic you, it's my got to. He did that, couldn't be seen. So
we're going to that, and I was just like, because I had known who Uncle No was, because they were on, like, this indie label, Sin Club Records, together, and there used to be this little dive bar off of Garfield Boulevard on the east side of, like, the Cleveland, Garfield, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Garfield Heights, I'm sure you are, but right off of Garfield Boulevard, there's this little bar. It was, like, I think it was, like, Polish-owned, it was called, like, Eurex or whatever, and my brother had me, like, roadieing and working door at, like, 15. I'm checking people's IDs, you know, make sure they're 21, well, you know, I'm, like, 15 years old at the door. And Uncle No used to play with my brother's band all the time, so I got really hip to them. And talking to those guys, they got me hip to some of the bands from out, like, towards, you know, Kent and Akron and stuff, because that was their scene. And, like, those guys were like, yo, check these dudes out. Or they'd play shows with my brother's bands, or then I started getting hip to Uncle No. That's when I discovered there was another music scene other than the Cleveland scene. I was like, oh, there's stuff going on in these other cities, I guess, you know. I was being egotistical to think that we were the only scene, but, you know, a lot of those bands, like you said, a lot of fans from the area and those bands did come to Cleveland because the scene was just so strong, and there's always so much going on that it was like, yeah, cool, Akron and Kent had bands, but everybody wanted to be a part of the Cleveland scene because it was literally, every show was an event. It wasn't just a show. Like, it was like, and, you know, there's still really solid shows like that, but I feel like when we started coming up, because I came up in the same era you did, like, every show was like an event, and if you didn't make it to that show, you felt very left out, and you would ask your friends, like, what happened at the show? Who was there last night?
Yeah.
And it's like, because it was like bands hung out at other band shows. Like, you would go to a show and you would see a fourth of the crowd was other bands and other people from other bands you liked or you were into or whatever. They would be there, and they really went out and supported each other. Like, you knew if you played, at least 50 people was going to be there on a bad night in the back of the day, and you knew at least 20 of those were other bands, you know what I mean? And
yep.
I was like, it was such a real tight knit scene, and it's like, that's what made me want to be in a band. I was like, man, these guys look like they're having the best time of their life. Like, everyone's cool, everyone knows each other, everyone's playing shows with each other, they get up on stage doing songs together. Like, it was just like, that was exactly what I wanted to be a part of. You know what I mean? That's the whole reason why I started a band, because I wanted to be a part of that scene.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never made any bones about it. I tried being in a band for a couple years when I was like 19 years old. Like, I was just like, I wanted so bad to be a part of it. And I will openly admit now that I'm pushing 40 that I was not very good. And and that's why. But the whole reason that I wanted to do it was I just wanted to open up for Mushroomhead once. That was like my whole deal. And so looking back on it now, it's so silly, because anybody who's ever been in a band, like, you have to open up for Mushroomhead. That's just the rules now.
And that was like our goal for the longest time too, like, because so I jammed, I used to do a guest vocal song with the band Snatch, which
I remember Snatch.
My drummer Lee, that was the band, him and Ben Hollowell, that was like their first, like, I mean, I think Ben was in other bands and stuff before that, but like the first band that they actually like got pretty popular and got a pretty good following, Snatch, I did a song with them. And they used to bring me up because I used to hang out with those guys. It was like, I hung out with them almost more than I hung out with my band members. And I was like, those guys are like my second band. I always hung out with them. And I was like, yeah, man, I want to write a song with you guys. And like, yeah, of course. So I, you know, started doing songs with them. And like, it was just like the coolest thing ever. Like, I was like, I was helping them, or like pushing them or asking them if they wanted to play shows, almost helping them book shows, because I wanted to just do that one song. I wanted to play so bad on stage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did, I remember we did, Snatch played, they did a Chimera Christmas show, and I got to go up on stage at the Odeon and do this song. You know, I was 17, and I'm like, you know, I mean, Chimera Christmas was a big deal, or it was a Chimera Halloween show, I think it was, but it was at the Odeon, and I mean, there's packed house, I'm up there doing this song, and I was like, dude, this is what I want to do. And like, I knew that moment, honestly, like,
yeah,
that show, that one song was like, I just want to play shows, dude. Like, I had so much fun today. I just want to play in front of people. That's all I care about. Like, I just want to, like, have people hear the dumb shit that I want to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just literally, like, you know, and like I said, the scene was just so cool, man. Like, I mean, because, you know, like, going to see Mushroom shows or seeing Crypt Kicker shows, you get to see bands like NDE. You get to see bands, you know, like Killhall. You get to see bands, you know, like, that's how I got introduced to Schnauzer back in the day, which is one of my favorite bands. Was they, you know, they played the WCSB show, the Save Our Smut show, and the Flats of Peabody's with Mushroom Man, dude. And it's like, that was like this all-star lineup of all these bands, and like, just killed it, man. They were so good. And then, like, just from that one show, I started like going to all these other shows. Like, I remember you used to call, you brought up the Mosh team. There was the Mosh, Mosh Tongue had the Hotline. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Called the Hotline up. And he would literally, for 20 minutes, be a 20-minute voice recording, the Mosh line, and he would tell you every single show and every single venue on every single night. He would
yes.
be like, Monday, whatever, da, da, da. And then he would name off, like, all the information he had. And then people would call in to promote their shows that way. So it's like, you know, you're talking about, like, before Google, you know, before even, you know, before any kind of, like, fanzine was promoting the local scene, really. It's like you had the Mosh line, and that dude would literally spend, I mean, he would update it once a week, dude. And he'd had to spend, you know, a good 45 minutes to an hour at a time just researching it and writing it all out, and then he would sit there and just read this. He was the most helpful, like, you know, protagonist of, you know, like, the music scene. He was just like, I want to make sure people can find a way to go to a show or know about a show. So he would literally, the guy was just, you know, he's great, you know what I mean? He would just literally do this hotline, and he would call this free hotline as a kid and listen. It was better than any scene magazine or any magazine, Free Times back in the day, whatever we had to, you know, read. Also, like, he would just, you know, he would list every single show, dude, and he would just sit there. And like, I remember being a kid where I would listen to it like once a week, and I make notes, like, gonna go to this show, gonna go to this show. And it's like, you know, everybody's like, what'd you spend your money at growing up? Because I used to, like, I had like a full-time job when I was 16, and I spent all my money on concert tickets, you know.
It's oh,
like,
yeah,
that's all I did was band shirts and concert tickets. That's all I knew, man.
That was, yeah, yeah, you and I very, very similar in that regard. That was because
right.
I used to call the hotline too, and like, me and my friends, since like we lived down, you know, down here, we would just take different people every weekend to shows. They would be like, you go to this party. We're like, no, we gotta go see 216. They're playing with Runt. I can't fucking miss it. Come with us. And so we'd bring new people in, but like, we were working throughout the week and going to school, and but all the money went straight to concert tickets and the band shirts. It was the exact
Yeah, dude, I like got like a full-time job when I was like 16. I was working at a factory, and you know, I was like, I ended up doing like homeschooling, like the last, you know, like year and a half of my, you know, like, you know, my high school years. So it's like, I would work, do my homeschooling, and then I would literally like just take all the money that I had, you know, like my parents would like, you know, they made me responsible and pay bills or whatever. I pay for my own, like my own phone and like my own pager or whatever. That goes to show our age, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's like every other dollar I'd be like, I don't need new shoes. I can put duct tape on them because I want to go to these three shows this weekend. It's like, you always made sure you had money for like a t-shirt or a CD or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just literally like every dollar was spent on a bag of weed and a concert ticket, you know, it's like, now I go. It's like, you know, it's like, and it's just literally, that was like, you know, that was how it was, man. It was, and like I said, like, I think I mentioned it earlier, like, we talk about all the time at band practice. It was like, if you missed a show, you felt so bad. You're like, you'd be at home and you're like, oh man, all my friends are at this show. And it's like, you know, you'd wait till your buddies get home and you'd call them and be like, oh, so who was there? Who played? How was it? And it's like, you know, it was just literally, it was, and it's crazy because, you know, I'm a fucking stoner and I've smoked weed forever. And it's like, I can tell you like a date of a show and who played and who was in the band at the time and all this and that. And I can tell you everything about that show and everything from like 96 to like 2003, but I can't even tell you what I had for lunch yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that whole era was, life was so important to you, man. You know what I mean? No matter how stoned you were, how much acid I ate, I always remembered everything about a show back in the day. That was another thing too, man. I was one of the guys, I loved eating acid. I don't think I saw a mushroom head not on acid for like the first 10 times I ever saw him live. And then, I remember the first time I saw him not like on a dose, I was like, this is not the same show I thought it was. You know, it's like completely different. I mean, it was still cool, but it was definitely like, I don't know how I used to function. I need to hit ass and I go around five people now and I can't do it. But like back then I'd go around, you know, 2,000 people at the Halloween, you know, Mushroom and Halloween Agora show. I could do 2,000 people on multiple hits of ass and be like, this is amazing. But
with 400 girls dressed up like Roxy and
what's that?
I said with like 400 girls dressed up like Roxy while you're tripping balls.
Oh yeah, man, absolutely. And it's like, you know, that's the thing too, is everybody used to wear their own mask and their own costume. So it's like, you could kind of hide behind your costume back then, you know, you're like, all right, cool. No one's going to know I'm tripping because everyone else is tripping too, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Mushroom Head shows were definitely an event, man. I mean, you know, I'm still like real cool with those guys and we still do a lot of shows with those guys. And, you know, the current lineup with the new guys are, you know, like, you know, Steve Rockhorst and Tom Schaffner, like literally we've been friends since we were teenagers. And, I mean, you know, it's like, we've all been in bands together and everything. So I'm really happy for those guys. I'm really happy that they're doing that. It's cool that Shroom has some North Royalton boys, some guys who, you know, those guys teched for them back in the day. I'm sure you know that.
That's, oh yeah.
Like, so it's not like they just found some random new replacements, you know, to fill in. They have some actual like old school, you know, like fans, friends, and then at one point employees of the band, you know, like working for them now. So it's like, it's cool, man. It's, you know, and it's just, it's like, you know, they still have the event vibe to it. It's, you know, they have a real tight knit family, and that's like, you know, people that go to shows, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not the same people that were going to shows when we were going to shows, but it's like, you know, that's the thing about Mushroom Head shows, especially in Cleveland. It's always been like an event, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's super important to people. And that band, man, no matter what, it's just, they have this crazy cult following. And of course it's changed over the years, but like, diehard Mushroom Head fans are diehard Mushroom Head fans, you know, and sometimes they change faces, but their loyalty, you know, don't, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's crazy. Cause I go to shows now and it's like, I don't know any of them, pretty much. I know like a handful of people that go, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people know who I am, because of the years spent working for them. But it's like, it's cool just to see the evolving door and just to see the fact that people still love it, cherish it, you know what I mean? And it's just cool because it just goes to show you like how awesome of a scene the Cleveland music scene has had, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's we're blessed because I go, you know, when I choose to travel, I go to other cities and be like, what's your music scene like? And they're like, dude, we have like six cover bands and we have like four local bands. Like, you know, people take it for granted how many venues we have here and how many awesome bands and how much music actually comes out of this town or this area. And you know, you go to the middle of like Fargo, North Dakota, they don't have local shows. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, they don't even know what a local band is. I mean, there's someone's dad plays like Disturbed covers at a bar or something, but you know, they don't have like a local scene. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we're real blessed, like, man, for that, for sure. That's that. And once again, man, thanks for doing a show that's based off of the local scene too, man, because that's awesome. You know what I mean? That's just cool that someone actually cares enough to do that, because I don't know, everyone thinks that, you know, this all just started somewhere, you know, it all just started last week, you know what I mean?
But right.
It's cool that there's history to it too, and then, you know, you were a part of it. So you said you're almost 40. Well, I'm 39, so we're...
I'm 39, we came up
we came up in the scene at the same time, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I love doing this. Like these little localized segments are obviously like more directed towards the local scene. When we first started podcasting, though, we didn't even know what the podcast was going to be about. But we found that going to shows over like the course of 20 years together was the thing that we had in common that we could talk about the most.
And, that's awesome.
And Grant, right. You know, Grant was working, you know, as a door guy at the Outpost for fucking ever. And just seeing band after band after band. And I've seen you work security at shows before. I think I was talking about, I went and saw Ween like a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there was like a I little.
I worked at the Agoras. And so I worked at Peabody's from 2000. And so I worked there, they closed 2013. And I started, I think it was St. Paddy's Day, 2005. I worked security at Peabody. So when I was on the road, I worked from 05 till it closed. And then when we moved over to the Agora, I moved as well. I was one of the people that Chris Zitterbart thankfully offered to come over and work for him at the new place. So I've been on and off of the Agora since the whole Peabody's Agora merger happened back in 2013.
I cracked up at the Ween show because there was like four or five guys that decided that they were going to try to start like a mosh pit or something up front.
Yeah, I remember
that. And I remember just seeing you like just looking at him, giving him a face like, don't. Just don't even, yeah. don't, come on.
I remember talking to you after that, actually, too. Yeah, now that I remember that, I totally forgot, so you just brought that up. So, yeah, it was definitely one of those things. It was like, this isn't, everyone around you is going to get pissed, you know what I mean? Like, you're just going to mess somebody's trip up, you know what I mean? Someone's acid buzz up right now, you know,
read the room.
I had a lot of friends who are into Ween, kind of off topic, but it's like, like, I had a lot of friends who were into Ween, and I knew who they were. You know, I mean, I was familiar with them, but I wasn't really familiar with them. And I will say they put on a very entertaining show. I was, like, definitely, like, not what I expected. And I didn't realize how many metalheads I knew that were actually at the Ween show. And so I kept running into people. And I'm like, holy shit, these guys really honestly do have, like, a crazy, like, very, very diverse fan base. You know what I mean? There's a lot of hippies there, a lot of metalheads. It was, like, you know, not what I expected from what a Ween concert was, man. It was definitely... It was definitely an experience. I can see why people follow that band because they actually do. I mean, I don't know how many times you've seen Ween. I don't know if that was a good or a bad show for them, but I was definitely entertained at that show.
It was an awesome show, in my opinion. I thought it was great.
Is that a band you follow? Or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I dare say it's my favorite band.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I've only got to see them twice because I didn't get into them until like early 2000s, and they came to Cleveland once. I went to that show, and then they broke up for like 10 years.
Oh, okay, right on.
And so,
I'm chasing Faith No More. They're one of my favorite bands, and I've never had a chance to see them. I've literally had the opportunity to see them twice, and something happened. Well, three times technically. When they were here for Album of the Year, I didn't have enough money to get into the Agora, so my friend and I went to another show, and we're like, we'll get to see them when they come back around, and they didn't come back around because they broke up, and then. When they played in, I think it was Baltimore, when they reunited, a bunch of Clevelanders, like the Garmin Bozio guys, JC and Harry Mapes and Steve Rockhorse and all those guys, they all carpooled, Jason Isom, they all carpooled up there and to go see the show. And a bunch of people, you know, bought tickets together, but we had already booked a show with the Heathens. It was us and King, when those guys were still around at Peabody's. They would do a Trash Bash festival on July 3rd every year. And we had already booked the show. We were playing, and it was like, man, you know, it's like it was the same night. It's like, I don't want to tell my guys, hey, you guys, we have to cancel the show because I'm going to go see Faith No More. You know what I mean? And which, in retrospect, I totally should have done.
Right.
But then the next time it was one of those things where someone had an extra ticket and I was in Detroit and they're like, oh, and I'm like, I can't commit to it. And so we just got tickets, you know, for this one coming up at Blossom. So I was like, yeah, awesome. Finally get to see Faith No More.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we have a pandemic. So we'll see how that works out for me. I feel like literally like I'm never going to get to see Faith No More. It's like one of those things. It's like my Detroit Rock City, like my Kiss movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
Like something's going to happen every single time I try to see, you know, Faith No More. But hopefully I get to catch them because they literally are. That is my favorite band of all time, hands down. I love that group. Every album, the Chuck Woolsey albums as well, because a lot of people hate on those albums and they're just not real fans. But
everything
that band's ever done, I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, yeah. I was really looking forward to the show with Korn, especially with the idea, because I've seen Korn before and nothing against them. It's just not my cup of tea at this day and age. So I was like, I can see Faith No More and then beat Traffic. Like, right. I'm fucking, right. Like, those are my two favorite things in the world. Faith No More and Beating Traffic. Like, fuck out of here. I was so looking forward to
it. It's a good combination. Yeah, man. So I somebody said that I read right before you actually called. I was reading. Someone said that it's postponed the next year or whatever. So I don't know. Hopefully I still make it. But
yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I've seen all of Patton's other projects. I saw Phantom Oz. I've seen Peeping Tom a couple times. I've seen Tomahawk a couple times. You know, I've seen most of his other projects. And it's like Mr. Bungle I saw a handful of times. Actually, the Mr. Bungle played in 99 for California at Peabody's in the Flats. And that is seriously one of the hottest shows I've ever been to in my entire life. Like, honestly was literally so hot that, like, the walls and ceiling, I mean, the walls and ceiling sweat and leaked in that place anyways, but it was literally so hot that I thought I was melting in my clothes. And while we're like, I was like, you know, we weren't even like, no one was pitting. No one was really moving. Everyone was just crammed in there. It was just so hot. Like, I think it was like August or something. I'll never forget. Like, Mr. Bungle was amazing. It completely blew my mind because, you know, that's like my second favorite thing that Mike Patton does. You know, Faith No More first, Mr. Bungle second. But it's like, I just remember being one of those shows, like, you'll never forget how hot it is. You know what I mean? You're like, dude, I might die. I might die tonight at a Mr. Bungle concert because of heat, you know? But, I just really want to see Faith No More, man. That's one of those bands, like, you know, everybody, you know, you have bands you really like, but everyone can skip a song on a CD or whatever, you know what I mean, on a record. You know, there's a couple songs you can live without. There's not a single song that band's ever done that I don't love. Every single song on every single record is amazing to me. It's perfect. Those guys are perfection. So.
Well, man, I'm really pulling for you that you get to see him, dude. Shit.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I hope so. My luck, they'll never play again because I'm like the curse of Faith No More.
So
you said you talked to Rob Runt the other day, huh? And that was a nice long conversation. Am I creeping up there, getting close to it, or what?
You guys are right around the exact same.
All right, cool,
except Rob was a lot more yelly. He was a lot louder.
Okay.
I just
get going, man. I got real fucking baked before you called too. Like I said, I was out in the yard doing yard work and I got real stoned and came in the house and cooled off a little bit before you called, and then I was like, oh man, I'm probably over gabbing this poor guy's ear off.
No, this is great. I mean, you and I have never actually got to really like speak with each other, and every once in a while, especially for these things, I like to put out like some longer, you know, it's just better content, really, like having more. So this, I was actually just thinking right before you said something, I was like, oh man, this is going to be fucking perfect. Ringworm.
Yeah.
So the band, what we do is we've been having, you know, local musicians, people like yourself that have been around, pick a band and a song that we're going to play on the show. And you just basically kind of tell why. And you picked Ringworm, which I was excited about. I was like, shit, finally somebody... Because I've played Ringworm on the show before, but not for one of these localized. They haven't been picked yet. Like, I think we've only done like 18 or 19 of these.
Right.
And so, yeah, when you said Ringworm, I was like, oh, fuck. Because somebody else is picking Schnauzer this week. It seems to be very Cleveland heavy themed. And so I was just like, oh, fuck, this is absolutely perfect. Why did you pick Ringworm and why did you pick this song?
I can't remember which song I told you to pick. I know it's Both Birth Is Pain, but that whole album is great. I picked the first song off of it.
The Sickness.
Yeah, The Sickness. I did pick the first song, yeah. Okay, so I figured I'd pick that one. I literally was like, I'm going to pick Ringworm and I'm going to pick a song off Birth Is Pain. So I saw Ringworm the first time at, I believe it was The Fantasy, and I was at a show. I can't remember who I was with or what it was or who they were even playing with, but I just remember them guys coming out playing, and I was like, you know, I liked hardcore, and I was, you know, I was familiar with, you know, I like the old Victory Records hardcore days was like some of like my favorite shit around that time. And I just saw Ringworm, and I remember them coming on stage and playing the first time, and I had heard of them, you know, and I'd never seen them or really heard much by them. And I just remember like being so just like my jaw dropped. I was like, these dudes are amazing. They're like hardcore, but with like this super awesome metal edge to it. And like just these really catchy riffs and this really fucking thick, crunchy guitar sound. And it's like Frank Novinick, you know, was like in the band at the time, you know, and he's in, you know, for those who aren't familiar with him, he's now in Hatebreed. He was also in the band Terror for a while. Frankie Thieger, Three Gun is what he goes by. He was also in Integrity back in the day. You know, I just remember him coming out and they played like this intro. And it was like, you know, just like an instrumental intro to get their set going. And I'm just like, dude, I just want to beat the shit out of everybody right now standing around me. And I just, you know, it's like few and far between if bands made me feel that way. And then we did some shows with those guys when we were real young. They were super cool with us. And I remember when that album Birth Is Pain came out and I bought a copy of that CD, it literally did not leave the player for about 4 months. I listened to that album every single day. And great group of dudes, awesome, amazing band. They were another one of those bands that are cataloged from beginning to end. It's fucking phenomenal. The album before Birth Is Pain, the album that everyone, one of the albums before Birth Is Pain, because I think they have a couple EPs in between there or whatever. But the album The Promise is considered one of the greatest hardcore albums of all time, which I love. But to me, Birth Is Pain is Ringworm's best fucking album. And it literally, from beginning to end, is sick. It's perfect. It has some of the best breakdowns, some of the best guitar riffs, some of the most angriest, deepest fucking lyrics. If you actually listen to what the guy's saying, The Furnace. Human Furnace is one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Amazing tattoo artist, too, by the way. I'm sure you're familiar with who he is. If not, he's an amazing tattoo artist. He's one of the co-owners and originators of 252 Tattoos. And the dude's just phenomenal. He's an amazing artist all around. And they just, Ringworm's one of my favorite bands, especially. To me, they're not even just a local band. Those guys, you know, they've, international talent, man. They're just, you know, a recording artist, man. They're just great. And that album to me, man, is just seriously one of the most perfect metal hardcore albums of all time. And just that song alone, like when those opening riffs come out, dude, like I get this fucking feeling inside me. I just want to beat the shit out of everything. Like, I mean, I'd kick my grandmother if she was around, kind of shit. You know what I mean? And it's just, to me, it's just one of the best riffs and one of the heaviest fucking songs ever. And the first time I ever heard those guys live and heard that record, I was like, dude, this is just amazing. I don't know. It's just one of my favorite metal hardcore albums, man, and like songs. And they're great, man. Ringworm's still fucking killing it. They're still doing, you know, new material. They put out an album over the summer, last summer, and they're fucking still putting out music videos. And they just did, they crush, man. And they're another one of those bands that's had, you know, a lot of lineup changes and stuff, but they've always had some of the best players in their band, and they have some of the most talented guys come in and out of that band over the years. And they're just fucking great, man. Ringworm is definitely a true definition of Cleveland hardcore. And they're great. And that's the thing was cool too, traveling around the country touring and shit with Mushroomhead. Like I'd meet other cities, you know, go to other cities and meet people and be like, oh, from Cleveland. They're like, dude, we fucking love Ringworm and we love Integrity. And you're like, what? You know, it's like, it's crazy. And then like all the old school hardcore guys, when they come through town, they always, every time they're on stage, you know, like last time Tara was in town, fucking Scott Vogel was, you know, on stage giving a shout out. And there's one of those bands that they have respect from all the peers in their genre because they fucking put it out on every album and they crush it, man. They're legends, dude, and they're from Cleveland. So what better fucking song or band to pick than some of the Cleveland's, you know, greatest legends?
I couldn't agree more, dude. Seriously, great pick. I'm looking forward to playing it for the listeners. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with me. It was awesome fucking getting a chance to speak with you. And yeah, man, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Dude,
man,
thank you so much for giving me a chance, and thanks for fucking, like I said before, man, thanks for playing HRH Half Raised Heathens fucking music, dude. Like, you know, it's cool when people actually support us, because we don't even think anybody gives a shit about us because we've been around so long, we forget that, you know, people actually fucking notice us once in a while. So that's much respect to you. And I'm like I said, man, thanks, and thanks for listening to my bullshit.
All right, brother, you have yourself a great day, man. It was awesome.
All right, you too, man. Later.
Later.
Show me what you got. We'll be right back.
ride, motherfucker.